So next up on the agenda is a question and answer on the Chief Financial Officer's report, and we have some projections behind my head, and I'll have to move slightly so you can actually see them and so I can see you. Wow, I really have to take a different location for this part of it. That's perfect. I'm just out of the light there. Okay. Yes, I'm no longer blinded. Excellent. Is there a cue for questions for the CFO from yesterday? Bill?
Well, I could ask a bunch of questions, but let me start out. I was hoping we'd have a little time to go over payables. I realize this is an open session, so you can't maybe talk too much about it, but I want to make sure we all understand the significance of our unpaid debts and why we need to not just spend every penny that we have coming in, because this has been a continuing problem that's shown up on our audit the last few years. And so I was hoping maybe LaVarne can say whatever you can say in open session about our payables and how serious that is and why we need to, if at possible, actually generate some surplus, more surplus this next year.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. What I have is we talked about reports and generating reports. So the balance sheet report that I have here is dated July the 31st, and it will address some of the issues that Bill has just raised. And basically what I'm sending with this balance sheet report, what we've done is we're doing two projects with the general ledger system. And one with the balance sheet is to go in and look at our interstation payables and receivables. And I'm going to pull this sheet down, and you will see that there's a column there that says other assets. And on the other assets, what we have here is to show, it shows long-term or intercompany receivables. And what has happened, if you look at our balance sheet, I should be able to bring that up, from our audit dated September the 30th, 2010, it shows these numbers on the balance sheet. And the first project I worked was to have to go in and do the analysis to separate the years of these intercompany receivables. Because, again, on the balance sheet for September 30th, 2010, unfortunately, it had these interstation receivables and payables, some of them were under current assets and liabilities. So that distorted our working capital. So the first project, what I had done was go in and look at the year of these intercompany receivables and payables. So if you look at the information here, so what we have done is that, for example, on the very bottom line, it has intercompany receivables FY 2003 and prior years. Now, basically, the solution to this is you take this off your balance sheet. You get your auditor to remove stuff like this from your balance sheet. This is just clogging up. It's not meaningful. You know, we can put it in terms of history. If anyone wants to go back and see how much they really should have gotten in 1997 for loaning Station A X amount of money. But this is just, superfluous. And when we show this balance sheet to outside companies in terms of sourcing for loans, you know, they look at this and it just looks silly. So the project this year with the audit and working with the auditor is to write all this stuff off, to just get it off. But it would be up to the auditor for us to really decide and how far back we should actually remove this from the balance sheet, because here you will see we did the project and it's by year. So even in year 2008, we have this huge receivable to the national office of $1.4 million. So we have to, decide, is that really relevant? Do we keep that as a long-term receivable? What is the possibility of paying that back? Since it's all among ourselves, the picture that it presents to the outside. So that's one of the things when we start looking at this balance sheet and really trying to determine what is our financial position. first of all, we need to get rid of this stuff. And I talked with a couple of people, and they were, and I was told that in 2006 or something. In fact, I was told by my internal, by the internal auditor that he asked for this to be removed, and it's still there, you know, 3 years later. So that's what we're going to do. So when, again, Bill was talking about payables. So that's one of the things that I'm, and let's start to show what's happening with our balance sheet and how we have, I believe, the resources now to really address these issues. So when you do this, actually, you have to go in and reclass a number of things. And the reason why I didn't release this balance sheet earlier is that we have looked at the balance sheet, and although it looks balanced, there's some reconciling items on here, and that's why I had not released it. And I said this is for review of our financial position and address the issues only. So if we go to the next sheet, we have under current liabilities, we have a line there, and the line is called, it's the accounts payable line. And also we have, and that accounts payable line shows what our major payables are. So as Bill has said, that, you know, when we try to achieve a profit or our surplus, that surplus will be used, and we're also sitting with these payables on our balance sheet. And those payables were for prior years. And a lot of this, particularly in the national office, if you can see this number here, the number is $946,000, and that was at the end of July. So what we have to do is we have to pay those down. And the reason why it's sitting there is because when we lost these huge sums of money, the $1,975,000 last year, is that those payables are stay on our balance sheet. And so on some of those, I can tell you because this is public information, we have we owe Democracy Now, and that's probably the major part of that. We have some other payables that are also there, as we've talked about before, that our my goal for the end of, like, the end of this month is to get all of the funds that are due to the for shared expenses, get those funds from the station, anything what we call bill backs. And if a station, like we pay insurance and things like that at the national office, and the stations transfer the funds. So in cases where they can't transfer the funds, we're holding that. So we have to pay the, we a lot of those we have to pay or they're outstanding. So the point is that we're paying those down. We've been able to negotiate with some of the individuals, groups, firms to actually reduce the amount, and we're able to reduce just even now for a couple of different firms, about 100,000 of that which has come down right now. And then we're looking at it to address and pay everything for the rest of the year. So again, the point is that, you know, if we're looking at our surplus and we see a small surplus, like I said, perhaps we'll be at about $300,000 for this year, that still we still have to maintain that and improve on that, because we have to build up the reserve so that we will never get in the position where we have these outstanding debts still sitting on the balance sheet. And as you see, most of it is either in the is in the national office. And even here at PFW, see, this is an that negative number. That's an accounting entry that has to be reversed. So all of these little accounting entries, now that we have an internal auditor working with us and going into a new audit year, we will be able to, I will be able to address these and clean up our balance sheet. And when you get down to the intercompany payables, just briefly, you can see all of, you can see what has been accumulated over the years. So it's still showing, like for year 2007, that KPFA owes $126,000, that KPFT at one point owed $93,000. But this is like all old stuff. And when some stations talk about, you know, how they're doing compared to the, how the other stations are doing today, if you look at it in the years past, you can see where other stations were in the identical position. So, you know, this is a good history for us, and we can look at it. But, you know, we need to clean this off our balance sheet. But we do today have payables that we have to address, and we have to do it as much as we can, reduce it by the end of this year. And so to improve our working capital, and working capital is a measure of how much liquidity that you have as a foundation in case, you know, you, there's, in case there's a major catastrophe. But since we have insurance, usually insurance covers those type of catastrophes.
Thank you, LaVon. Q, Stack, is there anyone who has
Questions? Campbell? Go ahead. And again, please try to keep things to a minute if you can. Go on.
This is on that thumb drive that you gave us?
No, I'll send it to you so you can put it on. I sent it to you last night, so you can put it on the thumb drive. I'm sorry. I sent it, probably about midnight.
Okay. Thank you. Are there questions? Laura?
I wonder about the surplus that you're talking about, the $300,000 or approximately.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy also mentioned yesterday that KPFA's funds, our listener support, increased last year. Part of that increase, I think, was from that emergency drive that we had in December 2010. And that was right after all the turmoil with the layoffs. And a lot of our listeners, I think, contributed because there was chaos and they were afraid the station was going to go under. So I think maybe that $300,000 surplus could have to do with that emergency fund drive, and it's kind of maybe a false surplus at this point?
I guess, quickly, and our Tracy can also comment on that, but there wasn't an emergency drive in December. There was the drive in December was already in the budget. What you also had was you had 2 days of fund drive in November after the archives fund drive. So the archives fund drive was like on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and KPFA had in their budget a KPFA drive on that Thursday, Friday. So at that point, because of the change in terms of the programming, those 2 days of drive were not done. And quite, you know, just real briefly, I was there in the hallway that morning, like at 6 a.m. that day that it was supposed to be scheduled, and there were these two long-term phone room volunteers, and when we told, they had showed up for the drive, and I said, oh, we're not going to have the drive. So they said, well, we couldn't understand why you're having a drive right after the archives drives anyway, but it didn't make sense to them. So, you know, we did actually what the listeners thought was the correct thing to do. So we just added those 2 days to the month of December, and it was just really wildly successful. So, you know, we all have opinions on it. But the $300,000 in surplus, I was trying to find KPFA's results for the year. But KPFA will probably come in at about break even this year. And if we look at the prior year, we can just pull up KPFA's budget, you can see that KPFA actually had lost funds in the last 2 years. We have the last two audits on there. So to turn around from these two successful years of over $500,000 in losses to break even, I think is doing a really good job for KPFA.
Thank you, Laverne. Nia's next, and then Campbell.
Thank you, Laverne, for your report. And I don't think we said good morning to everybody. And thank D.C. folks. So I'd like to thank the folks in D.C. for hosting us. Did I hear you correctly that we have insurance to cover the lack of working capital? Could you please elaborate on that?
Oh no, those two different conversations. I talked about working capital in the balance sheet. Then we were talking about addressing the fact that we have a small surplus, or the fact that major catastrophes, we have insurance to cover those.
Earthquakes.
Oh.
Yes,
I'm trying to figure that accounting-wise, where's the insurance to cover the lack? I thought you said lack of working capital.
I wish we did, but no.
Everyone wishes that. Did you have something further, Nia?
She said that there were two different things she was saying. I just didn't understand.
Okay, thank you. Campbell and then Tracy.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and good morning, Laverne. I'm speaking into it as closely as maybe it will stand. I had a question about this also, because I really thought that I heard that shortfalls in working capital would be covered by insurance, and I was quite amazed. You know, I was thinking, gee whiz, we've gotten some new math that really works wonders. But
I know it.
I want some.
But the thing that I have to have a concern about is that, you know, here's a report that is through July 31, and in my inbox it shows that it was received at 1:21 this morning, and somehow being able to respond to that in this brief a time frame is very difficult for me at this time, because we have several units that are included in this, and I just don't really feel that it's fair to the board to have to try to engage this. I've and the time frame is just problematic for me. Thank you, Madam Chair.
May I respond?
Of course.
I just want to say that the reason why I didn't release this yesterday and didn't want to release it is that is because, again, that this is just for a review of financial position. It shows, you know, we worked on the project to make sure that we would understand the year of these payables and receivables. You can see where the financial position is. But this is the second part of our project with our general ledger system and the finance office, is that we have gone in and looked at the way the system is set up, reporting is set up, and a lot of the reporting that was set up in there is no longer there. So I have a person, an internal auditor, who's recreating the report, so I can get reports as soon as we close, or when we close the books, I can get my reports immediately. And I have not been able to do that for the last 18 months. So that's what's happening. And there are some reconciling. This is balanced, but there are some reconciling items because of reclassing these intercompany payables, so that's why I really didn't want to release this report. And I released it because Bill had sent me a number of questions, which I got last night, and I responded to Bill, and I wanted to show that I do have information to show what the payables were, but right now I cannot get the reports out of my general ledger that I need, but that has been fixed as we speak.
Thank you. Tracy was next up on the stack.
Hi. I'm not asking a question about the financial report. You just asked me to expand a bit, LaVarne, on that point, so that's all I'm doing.
Thank you.
LaVarne's correct that KPFA had 4 days of fundraising scheduled in the fall of 2010, 2 in November and 2 in December. The November fund drive, the two-day fund drive, which is like a mini drive, was attached to the archives. It didn't happen. It moved to December, and I believe we ended up doing 5 days.
Yes.
So we added one. So it wasn't an emergency fund drive. It was a rescheduled fund drive. It was the most successful week of fundraising KPFA had in many years. It was over $60,000 in receipts. My feeling about the reasons for that is that traditionally the station had not fundraised in December, and there are statistics to the effect that December is the month of the most charitable giving to 501c3s by like a really substantial margin, because people are manipulating their taxes and they sit down and give things away in December. So I think a couple of things combined. I think certainly people were worried about the station and wanted to support it, because you hear about layoffs, you think things are really bad and it's a good time to donate. And I also think that December is a good time to fundraise. And while we kind of stumbled upon it in a way, it worked, so it makes sense to keep on doing it. This year's KPFA budget had, again, 5 days of fundraising in December, so it's going to use the same model. I don't think it will be nearly as successful, and the projected income is not $60,000 a day, because no one thinks that's going to happen again. You know, it's a more modest level, which I think is perfectly achievable. But in terms of planning, I think that the lesson to draw from that is that December is a good time to have a mini fund drive. The other thing that will probably also be different this year on that particular budget is that last year the fall fund drive was scheduled largely in mid to late September and early October, and this year that's been pushed back October 4 to 25. So fundraising in December will be much closer to the end of the previous fund drive, and that's another reason to project that the revenues will not be quite as colossal as they were last year. However, that was certainly something great that happened for KPFA at a time when it really needed it, and it has substantially contributed to the much better results that we're seeing in 2011 over 2010. So I think it's definitely a testament to folks in the Bay Area that they picked up their support when they sensed that it was really needed.
Thank you, Tracy. All right, are there other questions, commentary on this portion? Lydia?
Yes, I just wanted to comment on the usefulness of having that December fund drive. We also experienced that at KPFK. And for years, there has been a resistance to that. I think part of it is, again, the way that the network is viewed, which is that they don't understand that we are also a nonprofit, which is to our benefit. And so people that want that end-of-the-year write-off are going to donate in December. And I think that because we are a network and people get worn out for the, what I think should not happen, is the August fund drives and so forth, then staff and management want to take the whole, you know, December off for holidays and blah, blah, blah. But I have had an uphill battle for years saying, do like all other nonprofits do and raise money in December. And I hope that that's something that across the network people will start understanding, that it is to our benefit that we are a nonprofit and can utilize some standards that are common to nonprofits.
Thank you, Lydia. Are there others who wish to be heard during this Q&A period with the CFO, whose time we'll be at shortly? But
May I just give the results of KPFK, which Lydia is the representative? Like, for through August year-to-date, KPFK had a net income of $261,000. That was over 200% of their budget. And in their revenue, their year-to-date revenue through August was, the listener support was $3 million, total revenue of $3.4 million, which was about 3% higher than budget.
Thank you, LaVon. Okay, is there anything further? Because if not, we could move on to maybe getting, you know, one of the budgets underway before lunch, maybe two if we're lucky. Is there anything else in this? ever the optimist, aren't I? Okay. Are there any other questions for LaVarne at this time regarding any of this? Because this is our Q&A portion on the CFO report. And if not, we can move on. And hearing none, thank you. All right, thank you, LaVarne. And that moves us on to committee reports, finance and budget approval for all units and foundation. I had erroneously placed PRA on here, which had already had its budget passed. KPFT also had its budget passed, but has a slight modification. So I'm going to hand it over to Tracy Rosenberg, chair of the National Finance Committee, to go ahead and elaborate. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. John, could you be gracious enough to turn off that light and I can move back over and Bill can resume his place? I'm sorry. The Pacifica Radio Archives budget has been previously passed and I had erroneously included it on the agenda. And KPFT was also passed but has a slight modification. So it's properly before us. And he was asking, yes. So, yes, Tracy will give her report. And
Nia pointed it out as well.
Yes, okay. So, all right, so we're on the Finance Committee portion of the agenda. Tracy Rosenberg, Chair. Go ahead, Tracy, please.
Okay, good morning, everyone. We have five station budgets to review. That's all five of our stations except for the archives, which is sort of a division rather than a station. But it has an independent budget. As a reminder, the board reviewed the NFC recommendation of that budget, which was the same as what came from the staff of the archives, and approved it, I think, about a month ago. So we will not be reviewing that because nothing has changed. Let's see. Four of the five budgets you will be seeing more or less for the first time, although the Washington and Los Angeles budgets were forwarded some time ago. The first thing I think that we need to address, and there's a couple of comments that went out with the electronic files last night. You have the option to either bring up the files electronically on your computers or use the handout. I assume everybody's gotten a handout. There's a box, or there was a box.
They've all been distributed.
Okay. And the handouts are basically the budget line spreadsheets. I was only able to print up about 25, so if there's extras, yes, and if board members want to share so the audience can each have their own, that's fine. They're public documents. I just couldn't make an unlimited amount. And again, of course, they are draft budgets until the PNB approves them, which hopefully we are going to do. So on the Texas budget, sorry, things are ringing. It's distracting up here.
Please mute cell phones.
Okay. So on the KPFT budget, it was approved by the PNB approximately a month ago without a great deal of rancor. It was an LSB-approved budget. What has happened is that there were a couple of line items that came out in the examination of the other budgets as they came in that were not consistent. So to just address those quickly, a depreciation line item was added to the KPFT budget. They had also allotted in their budget as an expense a small amount to cover the travel for their PNB members, which is something that a number of the other stations were not doing. So we excuse them from singularly assuming that responsibility. And the KPFT treasurer and GM made some slight adjustments to their community events. They added a little bit of revenue and subtracted a little bit of expense. And they boosted their corporate match efforts by a whopping $100 a month. Where that leaves us and the net effect of these transactions is in the vicinity of about $2,000 from the budget that you saw before, so it's pretty small potatoes. But where that leaves us is with a projected total revenue of $1,305,000, projected operating expenses of $1,101,000, anticipated shared services payments of $187,000, with a net surplus of $16,209. Houston does have a capital item wish list. There were some computers and furnitures and fixtures and transmitter equipment that they were hoping to get, but given the small size of the surplus, it was decided they would put that rather than as a planned budgetary expense as a sort of, well, if things go really well, we'll revisit that. So those have been consigned to the wish list category. So that's kind of where we are with Houston. I'm happy to have the ranking PNB member from KPFT make any supplementary comments if you have any, Bill.
I think you summarized it pretty well, unless there's
okay.
questions.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was putting everything in, and I guess we will take questions. It is a motion from the NFC to reapprove this budget with these slight modifications, and we hope that you will do so.
Thank you, Tracy. Are there any questions regarding the KPFT budget before we move to approve it? Lydia?
Yeah. Just to be clear, it's the first three pages of the handout. The first page is the summary, and then there's the detail is page 2 and 3.
Thank you, Tracy. So are there any questions on the KPFT budget? And if I hear none, then I'll go ahead and call for a vote. Okay. Hearing no questions, is there any objection to acceptance and approval of the KPFT budget as recommended by the National Finance Committee with modifications? And hearing no objections to the approval of the KPFT budget, Madam Secretary, please mark it as approved by the Pacifica National Board. Thank you. Tracy,
okay.
May I resume with the next budget?
So we've passed one budget twice and several budgets not at all.
Excellent. Sounds very Pacific in us.
Such as it is. Okay.
Thank you.
I am going to go slightly out of order in terms of the agenda, and I'm going to go to the KPFK budget.
Yeah, this is your portion,
item.
So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's reasons, but
yes,
anyway.
Yes, of course.
So Los Angeles is the next station that we'll turn to.
And that is page what in the handout? Do you know?
It will
right
begin
after
on page okay. 4. If you look at
you.
The lower right-hand corner, you will see that there's a little comment, KPFK, NFC, WPFW, NFC.
Okay, thank you.
You should be able to see it begins on page 4, and because they have good Excel, it is page 4 and page 5. Some stations are really slick with Excel, and they were able to get their budgets into two pages. And some stations were not so slick, and so it goes on for 4 pages. I don't know. I printed
we excel at Excel,
what I could
yes.
do. Some are better than others. However, all of the same level of detail is provided for each station. So what I can say about KPFK's budget is that it is LSB approved. It was brought to the National Finance Committee on September 13th after they were given an extension through the end of August. That was to allow their new GM, Bernard Duncan, a little bit of time to get grounded. I'm happy to say that both the KPFK GM and the LSB were in support of this budget, mm-hmm. which was nice to see. And the budget was discussed thoroughly for several hours, but the NFC did not make any modifications to what we received from the LSB. We thought it was fairly sound. To summarize, we are looking at anticipated revenue of $3.431 million for KPFK. We are looking at operating expenses of $2,794,000. We are looking at anticipated shared services payments of $563,000 for a surplus before capital of $73,277. We then have $33,000 worth of capital items in the budget that include some computer upgrades, some broadcast technical equipment, and basically a down payment on the substantial transmitter upgrade that KPFK will have to do. That leaves us with a surplus after capital of $40,277. And you can take a look at the FY11 and FY10 audited figures to your right for a base of comparison. Ken, you're the NFC member for LA. Do you have anything to add?
No.
Great. So it's open for discussion.
Okay, I'll take a sec. Go ahead, Lydia, and then Alex.
Yes, what is the depreciation line based on? I mean, it's unusual. Sure. I know we've had this network ongoing discussion online. Certainly, we always have to book it in our books, blah, blah. But in terms of a cash flow expense type of budget, it's unusual. But what I want to know is that I think, especially for some of the newer members, I don't think that they're aware, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the actual property of KPFK, KPFA, and so forth, and KPFT, are in the name of the Pacifica Foundation, not in the name of the stations. So I want to know what is the formula for attributing depreciation, mm-hmm. if it's property, or are you talking about depreciation of equipment?
Right.
Thank you, Lydia. Go ahead, Jason.
The complete depreciation schedules from the last audit that was completed were actually sent to the NFC because, of course, we had lots and lots and lots of conversation about this, some of which all of you were privy to. So we did request and receive that document from the CFO, and it did clarify quite a few things as we went back over these budgets because the issue recurred over several budgets. And I want to be clear, they all now contain consistent depreciation schedules, although it took us a while to get there. We are not depreciating our property. What we are depreciating is the leasehold improvements mm-hmm. or the building mm-hmm. improvements that have been made to the property, along with a fair amount of aging broadcast equipment. I guess mm-hmm. I can say that on the stream.
we all know it's true.
And a certain body of computers and furniture and fixtures. The large items are the leasehold improvements where we own properties, and the vast majority of the depreciation is really broadcast equipment.
Thank you, Tracy. I have Alex, Dan, and LaVarne. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
on,
let me just
please.
Say one more thing. Certainly the depreciation schedule from the audit spreadsheet should be available to the whole board, and I'm happy to dig up that document and email it. Again, it's how the auditor assessed
sure.
depreciation.
Sure, please, thank you. And if you would do that, that'll probably elucidate matters. Okay. Alex?
I have a very specific question about one item, and I'm sorry I didn't catch this on the Finance Committee.
Can you speak into your microphone, please, for benefit of the stream?
I said I'm sorry I did not catch this on the Finance Committee, but I'm looking at line item 66.
Okay. Well, I'll send the depreciation thing after this.
6595. And we have budgeted there LSB election expense of $42,000.
Yes. Yes.
Which sounds to me...
A little high?
Sounds rather high. It sounds like we're not accounting for some of that election going into the 2013 fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out of line with what the other stations are budgeting. So I just wondered about that one.
Go ahead, Tracy.
I'll tentatively address that, although this may partially be a question for the KPFK LSB. I believe it was sort of a decision on the part of their GM and LSB that they wanted to sort of plan for those expenses in the current fiscal year. It is true that some of the money will probably not be disbursed until October 2012.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it depends on schedules for printing, because this is mostly printing and postage. And several stations made the case in their budgets that they didn't want to put expenses they expected to pay in October in September. KPFK chose to do that. To some degree, they have the cash flow to support it. It didn't put them into a deficit position. Some stations had slightly tighter budgets, and it was a problem. And again, since it was an LSB-approved budget, I think that the Finance Committee kind of defaulted towards if they wish to place it all in fiscal year 2012, but that certainly wasn't a problem.
Do you want me to address that briefly?
Yeah.
That did come under discussion. It seemed to be management's preference. You know, the accrual versus cash basis accounting, that the majority of the expense would be accrued in this coming fiscal year, although some of it might be dispersed in the following fiscal year. It seemed to be consensus to go ahead and book it for this fiscal year. So that's probably the difference, because that was a realistic estimate based on past expenses for elections. Dan Siegel, you're next.
You know, this is a kind of technical issue, but it's important, and hopefully we can all get on the same page about this issue of how to budget depreciation. As you all know, we have different financial documents that we have to prepare, right?
Mm-hmm.
One is a sheet of assets and liabilities, right? These lists what we have, what we owe, and so on. And depreciation is a liability because, I think as Tracy's pointed out, what it reflects is the diminution in value of different fixed assets. That's where depreciation belongs. It does not belong on our revenue and expense cash budget. And there's a very simple way to see that. On the revenue and expense cash budget, each item of revenue, the money we bring in from listeners and so on, is balanced or should be balanced by an item on the expense list. If you put an item on the expense list for depreciation, it's absolutely meaningless. Say it's $150,000. Does that mean at the end of the year we have taken $150,000 from our revenue and put it someplace? We've paid it to the depreciation creditor? Well, you know, of course there's no such thing. And that's why that's not the right way to book it. I mean, I don't want to be, quote-unquote, the expert, but I have been on a school board with a $500 million annual budget, and depreciation was always listed on your assets and liabilities sheet, not part of your cash budget, unless there was an agreed-upon plan to put aside a certain amount of cash each year to replenish or purchase new assets in the future. And that's not, obviously, what we've done.
Thank you, Dan. Lavarne, you're next.
This is great timing. And the number to call for WPFW Fund Drive is
202-588-9739.
And we'd like to thank
WPFW.org.
WPFW.org. Thank you. About depreciation, this is all very interesting. And, we have a cash flow section for this budget. And if you look at that tab, you will not see depreciation on there. Depreciation is on the P&L, the income statement. And if you look at the depreciation and there's the audited number for FY 2010, you will see the depreciation was, $45,486. So, and then when you came up with your profit and loss for 2010, the audited number, you lost $45,000 and for the total P&L. So the point is that if you're going to do a budget, you're going to be audited, and at the end of the year, there's going to be this depreciation expense, why do you not have that in your monthly, accrue that on a monthly basis? So this will be a guide, so you will know what your funding have, what funds you have versus what your expenses are, to guide you to make wise decisions. But even aside from all of that, in an accounting, basic accounting, is that when you purchase like a $300,000 piece of equipment, that is never shown on your expenses. So, you know, what happens there? So the point that Mr. Siegel was making, that why would you show this expense and you're not showing, you know, that you're not showing any revenue, you never really showed the expense on your P&L for that initial $300,000 purchase, say, of a whatever, a transmitter. And the way you account for the way, you know, FASB and GAD and everyone accounts for this, is that you're allowed to show the cost of that piece of equipment over a period of time. And that allows, and also what it does, and we've talked about this on some of our calls, it's what the government does to encourage people to purchase major pieces of equipment. It's basically what keeps our economy going. And that businesses are allowed to pay $1 million to not to show that on their profit and loss statement, because if you showed that cost of $1 million, that would basically wipe it out. But you're to show that $1 million cost of that capital piece of equipment over a period of years. And that's what depreciation is. You know, you can't just buy it and never show it on your P&L. Otherwise, people are like buying stuff and you never have to show that. You never have to do the magic thing, pay taxes, although we do not pay taxes as a not-for-profit foundation.
Thank you, Laverne. Arlene is next, and folks, as an FYI, lunch is in 10 minutes. I'd love to get through the stack and maybe pass this budget before we break, if that's possible.
We've had a lot of discussion on depreciation, and I'd like to just pass on two things that I investigated. First of all, we're required to depreciate equipment that was purchased with PTSP grants over a 10-year period. Mm-hmm. That's a government requirement. It doesn't have to be in the budget that way, but it has to be done as part of our financial statements. So I'd like to make that clear, that that's where a lot of this depreciation is coming from. Then I did talk to last year's auditor, Ross Wisdom, and two other CPAs that I know about this issue of whether you put it in the budget or not. And they said it's a very optional thing whether you account for it in the budget, with the caveat that many times it's called equipment replacement or depreciation and equipment replacement. There are lots of ways to put it in. But if you don't include it in your budget, you do run into the problems that we had last year, where at least two of our stations would have finished in the black without depreciation. And once the depreciation was figured in, it pushed every unit except PRA into the red in our audit. And that makes it difficult for us dealing going forward with creditors and with when we're trying to get grant funding and so forth. And so the reason that we decided to include it was in order to avoid that red line at the end of the year. It's not because it's necessarily a mandated requirement for a budget.
Okay, next up on the stack I have Ken, Bill, Lydia, Tracy, Campbell. Okay, Ken. And everyone try to stay to 1 minute, please. Thank you.
If you're listening to this program while driving your car, please pull over until this section is completed. I don't really think this is the venue for getting into accounting philosophies. We just want to go through the budgets and approve them or not. And it's very intellectually stimulating, but I don't think it's appropriate here. So I would just like to direct us to stick to approving or not the specific budgets that are being presented by the treasurer.
Thank you, Ken. Bill?
You know, like Arlene was, and or Laverne was talking about, if you buy something that has some equipment, a copier or a transmitter equipment or whatever, you spend $100,000 say, or even $1,000, and if it's something that has a lifetime of more than 1 year, like 10 years or something, the normal thing any organization does is depreciate it, just so that you don't have to put that whole expense in 1 year's income statement. You don't as an expense. But you can't just wave a magic wand and make the expense go away and ignore it. I mean, that would be trying to hide expenses. And I don't know if it's illegal or not, but it's unethical. And the auditors have dinged us in the past for leaving off items like that. They have to get put back in somewhere, and it's better to do it now than wait for the audit and then get another dark mark on our record, basically, for, you know, look, making it look like we're trying to ignore expenses. And so the confusing part is it's not cash flow. People think of cash flow, if you buy something, you got to pay for it this year, maybe. But the government and accounting standards let you depreciate it, which means you spread out the expenses over a period of time. That's what depreciation is. But it's got to go in there somewhere. And whether it's called depreciation or replacement of capital assets or whatever, it's got to be in there somewhere. So what we don't want to do, I mean, this is the worst thing that happens, is we start regressing back to spending more money than we're bringing in. And if we're going to be trying to spend every penny we've got, we're never going to get ourselves out of this financial hole. Right now, we're speeding towards a cliff, and we have been for several years accelerating. And the question shouldn't be, you know, can we keep pressing on the gas pedal harder until the very last minute? We got to start putting on the brakes a little bit. We need to be stopping looking for ways to spend more money, and we need to be honest about the expenses that we have. Save money, right. Okay, sorry. We need to save a little money, not figure out how we can ignore depreciation so we can spend more money.
Freudian slip. We have Lydia, Tracy, Campbell, Laura. Go ahead. And Wesley.
But we don't want to go the other way and present a false paradigm. So if we buy something last year, for us to have that deficit on our cash flow daily budget doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's the issue. But to me, the greater issue is, has this board ever passed a policy as to whether that is true? Arlene basically said what I was going to say, is that the most CPAs will give you that option depending on variables. Our CPA at our nonprofit said, no, it has no place in your operating budget, but absolutely, obviously, you have to carry it on your books and you have to find a place for it. You can't ignore it. No one is recommending that. But by the same token, if you want the stations to save money, then you say, okay, you need to come up with a reserve or whatever, right? But you don't have to produce that red line there. Or we may want to. The point is that this board has never passed an informed policy as to how we want the budgets to reflect that. Perhaps the committee has. It sounds like the committee has. But this board collectively has not. And I think, to me, that's the issue. We need to decide how we want to look at our budgets, whether we want to include that as a red line with a depreciation in our operational budgets, or whether we want to say, no, let's have a reserve because we're going to need equipment because somewhere else we know that our equipment is aging. Either way, it's up to the complete board to make that decision, and it's our responsibility to do so. I urge us to do so.
Thank you, Lydia. Tracy?
Okay, having spent some time on this, here are my thoughts. One is that a budget is essentially a planning document. That's the reason that you produce a budget. In some cases, where perhaps you have more money than we do, or at least a better income to expense ratio, ours are very tight. As you guys noticed, we just passed a Houston budget with a whopping $16,000 reserve, and the reserves at most of the other stations are not substantially larger than that. I don't think there's a single budget that I'm going to present to you that has a surplus that's larger than $50,000, and most are considerably smaller. Under that scenario, we don't have a tremendous window to absorb expenses at the end of the year. We don't have a significant window to absorb large profit and loss strikes because we're not going to have that much in the first place. So, for example, the cost to replace equipment, if we don't pay attention to them, and some of our equipment does need to be replaced. I've spent some time at KPFA, and you know, there's a lot of things that are falling apart. We can't afford to replace all of them, but we also can't afford to ignore the fact that we have significant equipment replacement expenses both now and going forward. What I would also say is it has been the policy of this board, I believe that it passed resolutions to this effect, that each station should be working toward a surplus of at least 1 month's operating expenses, and I think that was actually a resolution, although I'm not sure. And I think maybe in happier days, you all might have gone so far as working towards 3 months of operating reserves. That we can't do with these budgets. There is no way. But I think that in terms of basic fiscal responsibility, the fact that we are planning for unanticipated equipment expenses and, you know, having a surplus at the end of the year is not a bad thing. And I would sort of go along with what Bill is saying, that planning to spend every single penny that comes through the door with committed expenses, and of course our income is projections, we don't know if we're actually going to get what we're hoping to get, is probably a more worrisome expression of our fiduciary duty than a little bit of prudence regarding the fact that our equipment might fall apart and we might have to replace it, that our income might be a little short, and if we have some room in these budgets, if we budget conservatively, heck, we might even end up with half a month's operating surplus in the bank at the end of these fiscal years. And if we do that, I think that we've planned well, kind of budgeted well. I wouldn't consider that embarrassing. I would consider that sound management on the part of this board.
Thank you, Tracy. And yes, there is a one-month operating capital that's like a policy, so yes.
Yeah, none of our...
I understand. 3 months is definitely back in the day. We are at lunchtime. However, I would like to finish this if possible. So I have Campbell, Laura, and Wesley. Campbell, thank you.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. And I think that for dietary purposes, I'm glad to be here between you and lunch and any overindulgence, and I just trust that those who are still driving are not driving on busily, busy roads. There are a couple of points I think that are very important for our understanding, and one is that depreciation is an offset to an asset. It's how you mark down over the economic life of an asset, the presumed economic life, what that value would be. And this is like if you had a sinking fund in which you're going to buy that asset again after it, quote, wore out at the end of its economic life. A lot of times in for-profit corporations, it's more significant because you can accelerate the depreciation, count it against your taxes, and therefore have more earnings over a period of time. So that's beneficial. Now, one thing that would be useful for us, rather than having a rather peculiar situation that we aren't paying depreciation to anyone, it would be better perhaps if we had a capital budget, and then the depreciation would be on that capital budget. But I just need to remind folks so that we don't have distortions in using this planning tool of budgeting, that it would be very important to consider the fact that we aren't paying this out to anyone, that in our business, as opposed to many other businesses, whereas at one point you may have paid $500,000 for a room-sized computer, as innovation has come along, you may end up being able to do the same work with a $5,000 computer. So this is something I think so important for us to keep in our minds as well. I'm just concerned that by having depreciation where we stick it in these budgeting statements, it overstates expenses. Therefore, the individual unit is going to feel as though they cannot have the resources, say people resources, the developer, in fact that was a resource developer that we had raised question about previously, who would cost maybe $40,000, and then you've got $40,000 in depreciation. So gee whiz, to make this budget come out even, you don't hire that person. But yet, that's going to undermine your revenue ability. So it's something that I think forces us to do what hopefully would occur with these numbers, so that you aren't just looking at bottom lines, so you use it as a planning tool and not just get wedded to the numbers and enslaved by them. So that's just the point I wanted to make, and I hope I didn't get too philosophical in that regard.
It's okay, Campbell. Okay, thank you. Laura, and then Wesley, and then perhaps we could take a vote. So we've got it, lunch is waiting for us. It's not that we couldn't work longer.
I just wanted to echo Lydia in that if we think that we need to have a reserve account, which I'm all for, that we should budget for a reserve account rather than using depreciation in a weird way in the budget. It's we have capital expenses that account for things that we need to buy, and depreciation, as far as I understand it, having both capital expense and depreciation in the budget is double budgeting. Also, this depreciation affects KPFK and KPFA much more than it does any of the other stations. And as just a preview for KPFA's budget coming up, we weren't told about, our business manager didn't know about this depreciation item until after our budget was approved. So there's a big problem with this depreciation in the budget this time.
Thank you, Laura. Wesley?
I would like to thank the Finance Committee for their hard work. However, I cannot, in good conscience, approve KPFT's budget.
We're on K right now, Wesley. T has come and gone like a bird that has flown.
Oh, they did. Oh, geez.
Sorry, dear. But your objection is duly noted for the record. Thank you.
I'll bring it up again.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Yes, of course. So, folks, if there is no urgent necessity for anyone else to be heard on the matter, is there any objection to approving the KPFK budget as presented? And here, yes, go ahead, Nia, please.
First of all, we got this last minute. I can't read it right now. Is the depreciation after all this? Is the depreciation?
Please speak into the mic for the stream. Thank you.
Is the depreciation in the operating budget?
Yes.
Is the depreciation in the operating budget of KPFK? Then I vote no.
Thank you. Tracy, would you like to respond, or LaVarne? Anyone? Yes, I heard you.
I know we're going to a vote. I'm just going to clarify.
I'm just,
depreciation
yeah.
has been treated consistently with all five of these budgets. It's in exactly the same place according to the auditor's depreciation schedules. So there's no discrepancy budget to budget. Just
thank
answer
you.
The question all the way through.
Thank you. Yes, and Nia, we're not taking the vote yet. I was asking if there were objections. You're objecting. Now we'll take a vote. Thank you. And thank you for the clarification, Tracy. And just to... Okay. To clarify my... Dan?
You know, I know we've got to get through this, but it sounds like because this is a system-wide issue that we should perhaps break for lunch, come back after lunch, have a little further conversation, and see if we can reach agreement so we don't have to have the conversation four times.
For the record, we
okay,
already
thank you,
approved
Dan.
A budget with depreciation in it 5 minutes ago.
Two budgets, PRA. It's true. I mean, I frankly, in all courtesy,
I call the vote on the approval of the KPFK budget.
No, I had not started the vote. When someone objects to take, when I say, is there any objection, and someone says, I object, then I have to call the vote. And to clarify my ruling of earlier, there's another reason that I ask everyone's name. If you are listening on the stream because you actually spend your days listening to Pacifica Governance, you cannot tell how people voted unless their names are called. It is impossible for someone in California to see what a show of hands looks like in Washington, D.C. So I've had a motion to postpone further consideration of budgets until that came before you're calling the question. So is that a motion, Dan? Are you moving to?
Well, I don't really want to waste time.
I know, high voting.
Kind of a consensus and agreement. We could just have lunch, come back.
Okay, we've got a couple people who would like to continue this conversation after lunch and other people who would like to simply vote on this.
Well, the reason I'm calling the vote is I don't mind a discussion about the methods of accounting we're using. But at this point in time, we have KPFK's budget, and is there how many other budgets do we have to approve today?
All of them. Four to go.
Four to go. Okay.
Yes, Bill?
You know, depreciation's been in all the the statements. If you got the, if you looked at the consolidated income statement that LaVarne sent us several weeks ago, for the last 3 years, it's in every station for every year. Now, sometimes it got added back by the auditor if it wasn't correctly put in. So, you know, this is not the time to start going in and revising all of our budgets. You know, if you want to plan for a policy or do something for next year, that's fine. But, you know, it's as late. You know, the fiscal year ends in, what, 6 days. And so we need to just get these passed, and we can do what we need to do next year if we want to change something. But right, we can't just ignore these expenses.
Please don't speak out of turn. Folks, I'm going to call this to order. I'm going to make a decision here as chair. You're welcome to challenge me. I'm ruling that it's 8 minutes after noon, and we also have a hotel schedule and food that's getting cold, and there is not consensus in this room, and we can waste the next 15 minutes on a series of votes about this. Excuse me. Please, I can – thank you. During lunch, there is ample opportunity for further discussion on this topic as well. I'm simply going to rule that we come back to this after lunch. We're 8 minutes overdue now. We're not going to get a vote on this with agreement. It needs to be discussed after lunch. So we're breaking for lunch now, and we will be back at 1 p.m., and we can have further conversations during lunch, and we will settle this at that time because I don't think it's going to happen in 5 minutes.
Madam Chair.
Thank you.
They need to carry their